Mike McFeely Show on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
This one lasted more than a year, Pinto. This iPhone, I think, lasted more than a year before it has sustained damage. I mean, that's not bad for me, because I was just relaying, to brand new Minnesota State University Moorhead President Ann Blackhurst my history with cell phones and Blackberries. So let us recap, Pinto, if you would. I've put two in water hazards at Village Green while they're in my golf bag, by the way, because it was windy and I failed to put the brake on. I ran over one with my pickup after bowling, after it apparently fell out of my pocket underneath the tire of my pickup, and I backed over it, drove back the next day and found it. So I did that. This iPhone I'd been so good with. My first iPhone, great piece of technology, unbelievable, great thing. All my life is on this iPhone, and it still works. It's fine. But today I dropped it in my driveway.
Now, how did you drop it?
That doesn't matter. I dropped it in my driveway because my dog wouldn't go back in the house. Okay? That's why I dropped it. Because every day the dog fools me. Rudy the rescue dog, who everybody knows and loves in this program, is smart enough and has outsmarted me over the past 2 years that he fails to go in the house when I want him to.
Well, fails to go in the house when you want to, or you fail to recognize he's going to do that.
No, but I'm optimistic. I think today is the day Rudy's going to respect me. Today's the day Rudy's going to look at me and say, yes, Mike, I'll go in the house and mind you. But instead, he weasels his way outside at lunchtime because he doesn't want to be in the house. And then he knows that when it's time to go back in, that he's going to have to be by himself for the rest of the day, because I'm going to go back to work and the family's doing their stuff. So he doesn't go back in the house. He wants to get my pickup and come to work with me. Well, I don't want to have him at work today. And so I said, Rudy, please go in the house. Rudy, big guy, please go in the house. And he wouldn't go in the house. So I ended up chasing him around my pickup and trying to trap him and outsmart a dog. And as I was doing this, the phone went flying out of my hand. And I very nicely, like a hacky sack thing, tried to kick it with my foot to, you know, soften the blow to right. Break the fall. I thought I did. I caught a piece of it, hit the concrete, landed face down. I thought, I think I saved it. I think it's all good here. I picked it up, and what's on my iPhone screen?
Oh, cracks.
Looks like a
everywhere.
Spider web.
Yep.
Like I don't have arachnophobia, because it looks like a spider web on my iPhone. So I'm depressed today.
I'm sorry.
Can I get this fixed?
Oh, yeah.
What's it going to cost me?
I don't want to tell you.
Like $500
or
what?
No, it won't be that much, but it's not going to be $20.
I'm going to call Julie over at Cellcom. She's my girl. She's my woman over at Cellcom. She will figure it out. She's probably listening right now because she sends me text messages during my show. We'll figure it out. I'll figure if I can fix it, if I need to replace it, or if I'm going to have to suffer until I can get a new phone. Folks, welcome to the Thursday, July 3rd edition of the Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. Fun show planned, and I strongly urge you stick around until 3 o'clock, not only because of our great guest we have in studio, but at 3 o'clock, I don't know if you've heard the news, but a gentleman by the name of Louis Zamperini died today. And if you don't know the name, you probably will recognize the story when we talk about it. But long story short, Louis Zamperini was the subject of the book Unbroken. Unbelievable life story, unbelievable history of what he did in his life. And we have a story about him and some audio of Louis Zamperini that you'll want to hear at 3:06. We'll also talk some fishing and stuff because it's July 4th weekend. But before we get to all of that, I want to welcome in studio, after my long and involved cell phone story, the brand new president, just I think took office July 1st, correct, President Blackhurst?
That's
and
right.
Ann Blackhurst, brand new president of Minnesota State University Moorhead. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm great. It's great to be here.
Welcome to the program.
Me.
Congratulations. What's it like to be president?
Well, this is only day three, so I don't have much to judge on yet, but I have to say the first few days have been awesome.
Things are going okay?
Things are going great.
Things haven't exploded or imploded? Everything is going just fine
Not
so
yet.
Far?
And so far, every day I've been visited by people bearing gifts and congratulations and well wishes, and so I'm thinking this is a pretty good deal.
That ends after a while. Because the same thing with me here at this job. I had people coming in, you're doing great, and after a while it just stops. So just be prepared for that. It'll stop after a while.
Well, it's been good so far.
I want to talk to you for much of our interview today about what you want to get done at Minnesota State Moorhead and the future and your you know, things you have coming up here. But before we do all of that, it is July 4th weekend, and tomorrow actually is Independence Day. And one of the great traditions in the city of Moorhead and at Minnesota State Moorhead is the fireworks show. And that's coming up tomorrow. Fill us in. What's happening? When is it? Where is it? Let people know how to get to MSUM.
Sure. This is our 42nd annual 4th of July celebration at the university. So as you've said, this has been an important part of the community tradition to come to MSUM for the fireworks show. The doors open at 6:30. We've got some inflatable games for the kids. Those go from 7 o'clock to 9:30 tomorrow night. We have the ever-popular kids decorated bike parade at 7:30, so the kids can decorate their bikes and come parade around the track at NIMSIC. We've got some patriotic music from the Lake Agassiz Concert Band. That starts at 7:30. And then at 8:30, the Front Fenders. And as you know, they're always a good time. They get the audience involved, and they'll keep us entertained pretty much right up until fireworks start at 10:30.
Perfect.
The important thing to remember is that other than the concessions, everything about this is free. So people can come on down, enjoy some great entertainment, and then the fireworks, all free of charge.
42nd year, you said?
42nd.
That's a great tradition. And I know that our family, this year we can't make it because we're hitting the road and we're getting out of town, but it has become for our family one of those, we got to go. We have to go see the fireworks. It's the best fireworks show in town. It's great. And I know that, you know, many times, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't come over the Red River from Fargo to Moorhead, but the fireworks at MSUM is one of those reasons that people drive from the surrounding communities and from Fargo to MSUM and to Moorhead to see the fireworks.
I agree. This will be my third year to attend, and I have been really impressed with the quality of the show. So in my opinion, nobody does fireworks like the Dragons. We put the fire in fireworks. And
absolutely.
So if people haven't been, I think they'd be really, really impressed with the quality of the show we put on.
You know, these things don't happen without some great support from the community and some great sponsors. And I know you want to get those names out there, and feel free. Give them
I do.
You want to give them.
We want to give a shout out to our great community partners, Bremer Bank, American Legion, the Moorhead Public Service, and Tecta America Greenberg Roofing. Without the help of our sponsors, we would not be able to put on the quality fireworks show that we're going to put on tomorrow night. So,
have you had a chance to meet with, as the president, again, you've only been in the position for 3 days, but have you had a chance to meet with some of those community partners and some of the sponsors and some of the great businesses in Fargo-Moorhead, and what's been their response to the fireworks show, to you, to MSUM?
You know, another thing that has been really, really gratifying is that even before I officially started, many, many business leaders and community leaders have reached out to me, have invited me to their businesses, have hosted events where I can meet their employees or other prominent leaders in the community. And so I have met with several dozen at this point, community and business leaders who have made it clear to me that they would like nothing better than for MSUM to soar, and have pledged their support. And it's, as I said, it's been very gratifying.
Cool. That's good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one more time before we take our first break, just some quick times of things that are happening tomorrow for the fireworks show and for the 4th of July.
Okay. Doors open at 6:30, and that's when the concessions start. We've got inflatable games from 7 to 9:30. The bike parade for kids starts at 7:30. Music by Lake Agassiz Concert Band also at 7:30. The Front Fenders at 8:30. And then the fireworks show at 10:30.
And everything except for the concessions, if you want to get hot dogs or popcorn or soda,
everything
is free.
Is absolutely free.
Absolutely great. Let's take a break. 237-5948, 800-880-5346. It is a laid-back July 3rd edition of the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Minnesota State University Moorhead President Ann Blackhurst in studio with us for a couple of more segments. We'll keep her around and ask her all the pertinent questions about MSUM. And before we get to that, the serious stuff, I do need to throw a shout out to you. I was doing a little research on you before you came into the studio here, and you ran the Fargo Marathon.
I did.
So you're a marathon runner, 26.2 miles. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Are you a regular marathon runner? Was that your first marathon? How many marathons
have
you run?
It was actually my eighth marathon.
Jeez.
And I had a goal to qualify for the Boston Marathon. You probably know there's your qualifying time varies depending on your age, and I won't share what my qualifying time is because then you'll know how old I am. But I did meet my goal, and so I'll be registering for the Boston Marathon next April, which is next April.
Oh, really? Well, congratulations on that, too.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. And as your sidekick here, your right-hand man, Dave Wahlberg, asked, are you going to make everybody now at MSUM run marathons? is it a requirement now to work at MSUM to run a marathon?
Well, that has been the fear. My senior executive team has voiced their fear that I'll require them to be runners. But so far, I have no plans to do that.
That's probably a good thing. A question comes in via text. Where do the activities at MSUM take place tomorrow?
I should have mentioned that. I apologize. They're all at the Nimzik Stadium. Okay. And so that is on 6th Avenue South. And so you can come in via 8th Street in Moorhead and take a right on 6th Avenue South. And there's ample parking. And you can also come in off of 21st Street if you're coming in from the other.
Yep. It's the football stadium at MSU. I'm looking for standards that are sticking up above the football field over by the basketball arena. Okay, president of MSUM, you've been on the job for 3 days now. What is your first goal? What is your number one thing that you want to accomplish as the president of MSUM?
Well, my top priority for my first 100 days was getting on the Mike McFeely show. So
you can retire happy now. So you're fine. It's fantastic. You're a winner.
You know, people have different ideas about what you should do as a new leader coming in. And there are lots of people that think you should have a very explicit plan for your first 100 days. My approach has been to try to strike a balance between having a plan and also allowing myself to learn more about what other people think I should do as president. In that regard, I did read the blog entry that you wrote shortly after I was appointed, where you had some advice for me as president.
Which I'm sure you sought, by the way. I'm sure you're looking out for me to give you advice.
What's interesting to me, Mike, is that we actually share many opinions about what's necessary at the university. One of the main goals of my presidency, and this is certainly not something I'll accomplish in the first 100 days, but I'm willing to devote time and persistence to this, is to increase the visibility of the university mm-hmm. and our reputation in this region, in our own backyard. And I think part of that is reconnecting with alumni. It's partly elevating the profile of our athletic teams and making sure that they are attracting people to our campus and helping make us more visible. It's changing the narrative about the university. You noted that we have had a history, at least recently, of some budget issues and other crises that have been featured very prominently in the media. I think we need to change that narrative. Most importantly, we need to get out the story of the extraordinary education that we offer students. And I believe strongly in the quality of that education, and I want to devote myself to making sure others know about it and begin to believe in it too.
There is some unbelievable number of alumni just in Fargo-Moorhead.
Yep.
It's like 10,000 or I'm not sure of the exact number. I think I wrote it in the column. But I don't remember exactly what it was. And so just as an outsider and as an alum myself, I look at that and say, my goodness gracious, that's a large number of people. Mm-hmm. That's a great number of people just in our community who went there, mm-hmm. got their education, met their friends, helped get them on a path toward their career. And it seems, as you've noted, and as I think everybody knows, that the school just hasn't seemed to stay connected with those people. It's mm-hmm. almost as if, and I'm guilty myself. You graduate, you move on in life, and you go, whatever. How do you get me to be more attracted mm-hmm. back to MSUM? How do you get the 10,000 people out there to say, I want to be a part of that?
Well, you're exactly right about that, and it's something I've really been puzzling over. Every time I fly into or out of Fargo, I end up sitting on the plane next to somebody who's an alum. Mm-hmm. I went to the eye doctor the other night, and I'm sure you noticed the distinctively red hue of my brand new eyeglasses frames.
Very sporty.
But, the eye doctor was an alum. Everywhere I go, I meet alumni of MSUM, and I always ask them, what kind of experience did you have? And without exception, they say it was a great experience.
It was great.
They had a great education.
Yeah. Yeah.
They attribute their success in life to the education they received from us. And yet when I ask them if they're still connected to the university, they almost invariably say no. So changing that is critically important. And I'm not sure I yet have, exactly the strategy to pursue to do that. But I did like one of the suggestions.
I'm going to cut you off because I have a hard break coming up here. We need to stop. I'll let you continue that thought. And I'll give you one. talking running here off air on the Mike McFeely Show with MSUM president Ann Blacker. She's a marathon runner.
And you run after your dog.
Did anybody ask you to say anything there? Did I cue you to come into the show there, Pinto? Did I do that? I'm not sure that I did. I was going to say I run to the fridge and back, but I also run after my dog, I guess. So that's the extent of my running. President Blackhurst, kind enough on July 3rd to pop into the studio with us and talk about all of the great things happening at MSUM as she takes over the presidency. I had to interrupt a thought that you were making before the bottom of the hour break, and you were talking about how the school can become more involved in the community and how you can get alumni to reconnect with MSU or connect for the first time with MSUM. So finish your thought, or Gori, you wanted to go with that.
Sure. I was saying I don't think there's any easy answer. You did make a suggestion in your blog entry, and that is that I could personally invite some of our alums to form a task force or serve on a task force to advise me as president about how I can reconnect with folks who've had a great experience at MSUM and then for whatever reason have just not maintained that connection. So I think that's one possibility. I think the more visible we are in the community generally, the more alums have opportunities to feel proud of us. And some of that's seemingly simple, maybe even superficial things like we are going to have our first bus wraps, you know, so there'll be buses circling the metro area.
You're marketing yourself.
With our name and, on it. I've tried to be very active in social media. I'm going to try to be as visible as possible as president. I think we also just need to get out the word about the quality education that we offer and the many, many success stories we have of students, faculty, former students, alumni who go on to do extraordinary things. And, you know, I think those stories kind of rekindle for alumni the experience they had and prompt them to want to reconnect, maybe help this generation of students have the same success that they've had or contribute in some way to the university. I think athletics can be a very important way of reconnecting as well. You know, people get excited about the home team when it's doing well. We've tried to recruit more local athletes, standouts in our local area to come to the university so that community members who are used to watching players in high school follow them to college and continue to come watch them. And I personally think that is an important element of building pride in the university and reconnecting. The last thing I'll say is I think this doesn't help us reconnect with alums who've lost touch, but it helps us build for the future. And that is, I think we have to have a sense of community while students are on our campus if we expect them to still feel that connection once they graduate. And I think we haven't always had that strong community feeling on our campus.
When I was going there in the mid 1980s, it was the term is suitcase college I would come up from Alexandria, went to Morehead State, got a great education, had fun, liked it. But on weekends I went, I'm out of here. And I'd take off somewhere back home or to a friend's hometown. How do you change that culture? Because it's been that way for decades at MSU. MSUM, I apologize. MSUM. It'll always be MSU to me. How do you change that culture of being a suitcase college or a place where students vamoose on the weekends?
Well, again, that's where I think athletics can play a role. You know, our basketball team was very successful this past year. Mm-hmm. And as the team went on in the season and was clearly going to be a contender for the conference championship, and the number of students at games started to increase, we had one of our first ever, I think, tailgate parties before a basketball game organized by students. And those kinds of things keep students in town, on campus, and bond students to the university. So it's not just athletics, but I think that can be a part of solving the problem.
MSUM got beat up a lot the past several months for the budgetary issues and former President Szymanski, trying to take care of those problems. And there was some angst between faculty and administration, and it was played out on KFGO, it was played out in the forum, it was played out on TV. Mm-hmm. Is all of that gone now? Can we stop hearing about the budget issues at MSUM? And as an alum myself, can we start, as you said, changing the narrative to, let's talk about something positive that's happening on campus. Is that in the past?
Well, as you know, this is just a very challenging environment for higher education, not just in Minnesota, but nationally. So I think we're always going to have to be thinking about how to be more efficient, how to offer a high quality education with scarce resources. But in terms of our budget situation, I feel very optimistic. Maybe as you know, you mentioned earlier your optimism about Rudy the rescue dog. I have genuine optimism that our budget this year is balanced, and that looking forward, we'll actually have a surplus to invest in things that are important to our future. And so I think, you know, we're going to make a conscious effort to change the narrative, but I think it won't be necessary for us to be talking about budget challenges the way we've had to in the past year.
How's the relationship between the faculty and yourself? Because there was some, again, they're upset that there was some faculty cuts and some voluntary retirements and things like that. How is your relationship with your faculty?
I think relationships between the administration and the faculty were strained at times. There's no doubt about that. In general, I think we have fairly good relationships on our campus between faculty and administration. There's a need to build trust. And I am very cognizant of that, and seeking advice from our faculty leaders about how to do that. I think having transparency and making it clear that our priority is supporting faculty, investing in faculty development, making sure we have quality academic programs. I think those things will go a long way to rebuilding trust.
When it comes to enrollment, what was enrollment at MSUM during the last academic year, and where can it go, and where do you want to see it go? Do you have a goal in terms of, I want this many students on campus? I mean, is that something that you're going to look forward to for the next 5, 10, however long you'll be the president at MSUM?
Well, certainly I have a goal of increasing our enrollment.
Sure.
Because it's not at an optimal level at this time. I think our optimal enrollment is somewhere around 7,500. Right now, we're at about 6,000 in terms of our full-time enrollment. So we need to do some work to grow our enrollment. I think that will lead to a more balanced budget. It will lead to better utilization of our space and just put us in a position where we're on much more solid footing in terms of our finances, and just also add a vibrancy to the campus. Mm-hmm. You mentioned being on the campus, you know, in the summer, and that it's kind of quiet, and there's some things about that that are nice, but I also think it would be nice if on a more year-round basis there were things going on campus, and you had a sense that, you know, this is a place students want to be, and because enrollment's healthy, we have the resources to do the things that are important to us.
And the community wants to be as well, because
yes,
that's part of it. I think that when I wrote that blog or my column in the FM Extra, the community, I think, wants to be a part of and needs to be a part of a college campus to have it integral to the community. And I think NDSU, not to always make that comparison because in many ways it's not fair, but it's, you know, that's become an integral part of Fargo's community, when for many years it really wasn't. It was mm-hmm. up on the north side of Fargo, and it was what it was. Mm-hmm. But MSUM is right in the heart of Moorhead. And it, like I said, there are some nice things about it being quiet when I go to the wellness center and do my 5 miles of jogging on the treadmill. But at the same time, it would be nice to see people have students, you know, elementary school kids on campus, or have a theater camp on campus, or whatever it might be, to have some activity around mm-hmm. there, right?
And we're doing some of that. We have a College for Kids program going on this summer where we're bringing kids on campus, and we've actually expanded that to include high school level students, and we've got some of our best faculty teaching classes to these kids in the summer, so that hopefully they'll form an early connection with MSUM and think of us as a possible destination when they go to college. We've got the Straw Hat Players going on. I was just at the Barefoot in the Park production the other night, and it was a full theater. So
sure,
we do have some of that going on, but I agree. We need to work to make sure the community, that we're fully integrated with the Moorhead community.
If you're going to increase enrollment to 7,500, if that's your goal, where are those students going to come from? Because part of what President Szymanski did was maybe tell or have the policy of that not everybody is fit to go right to a four-year school. And maybe we could funnel some kids to the community college, the technical college in Moorhead, have them go there for a couple of years. If they want to go on, they could. Where are the students going to come from is it going to be the traditional, you know, Lake Park, Audubon, Detroit Lakes, Fergus Falls, or do you have a bigger, broader plan from where to draw students?
Well, I do think we need to draw more students from our region. I think that we have not always been the first choice university for students in our region, and so we certainly need to own our own backyard. But I also think we could do a better job of drawing students from the Twin Cities metro area. I think we're the perfect distance from the Twin Cities for students who want to go away to college but don't want to be so far away that they can't occasionally visit home. Mm-hmm. And we honestly have not had a very coordinated strategy for recruiting from the Twin Cities market. So I think, you know, both in our own Red River Valley region and in the Twin Cities metro area, and then there are some opportunities beyond Minnesota. It's increasingly difficult to recruit from North Dakota, given their ability to invest in keeping students in North Dakota. But we, on the other hand, have a sizable number of students who start out in North Dakota and then transfer to Minnesota State University Moorhead. So being attractive to students who transfer from our two-year partners and from other institutions is another part of our strategy.
Ann Blackhurst, president of MSUM, our guest. Do you have time for one more segment? Can you stick around for 5-10 more minutes?
Absolutely.
She'll do that. We'll talk more about MSUM. It is 2:50 on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO on a laid-back Thursday afternoon. MSUM president Ann Blackhurst being very generous with her time, giving us a full hour here to chat about MSUM. Broad philosophical question for you, and you can apply it to MSUM if you'd like, but is it a university's job to train students for a specific skill for a job so that they can go out and be whatever they want to be, whether it's a teacher or an electrician or a journalist or a, God forbid, a talk show host, or is your job to educate them in a liberal arts fashion to have them be as intelligent and as bright and broad as possible, and then have them apply the skills to the job market? Which is it? Because that's a huge, mm-hmm. I get in discussions all the time with my buddies that, oh my God, my kid has a liberal arts education, it's worthless. And I say, well, is it? I mean,
in some ways, and I think you might have alluded to this in your comments before the break, I think it's a false dichotomy. Because when we ask employers what they want in graduates, what they say is they want and need employees who can think critically and solve problems and work in teams and be leaders. And those are all things that I believe students receive from a liberal arts education. And yet, students also need to be able to find meaningful employment when they graduate. And we're very proud of our high placement rate for our students. I just tweeted today that it's 97%, the highest of the universities in the MinSCU system. And so I think students do need, you know, a sense of what their career path is. And honestly, I think students and parents increasingly expect us to provide a route to employment. And mm-hmm. we are, as a public institution, we exist to serve the state. When I meet with business leaders, they tell me almost unanimously the most important thing they need from us as a university is to prepare the workforce of tomorrow and to drive economic development in this region. So I think we're trying to do all of those things, and it's not an either or scenario.
Has MSUM and has higher education in general transitioned enough or evolved enough, given that, you know, I've talked with people from North Dakota Job Service, for example, and there are, you know, 20,000 job openings in eastern North Dakota, and 10,000 of them are IT jobs. It's the workforce has changed from, mm-hmm. you know, going to be a school teacher or a newspaper writer to being somebody who works in the tech fields. Has MSUM evolved to meet that demand or that changing world, and has higher education changed enough to meet that?
Well, in some ways, I think that's one of the ways we benefit from being part of a system that includes both technical and community colleges and universities, is that there's a need for the full range of skills, and, you know, from the very technical to the broader leadership and problem-solving skills I just mentioned. And so it there are many jobs where a two-year education is what is required. We certainly have degree programs in very technical fields, and that's probably going to continue to increase. But I wouldn't put those in the category of, you know, vocational education versus what we typically think of as a university education.
Is a university education too expensive in the year 2014? And where does MSUM rank in terms of affordability? Because historically it's been a very, it's not cheap, they ain't giving it away. I mean, but it's historically ranked as a very affordable place to get a degree.
Exactly. Right, without minimizing how much parents and students struggle to afford a college education, even at a place like MSUM, I can say we're very affordable compared to the University of Minnesota system, certainly compared to private institutions and the for-profit institutions. We are definitely on the affordable end of the price range. And more important than that, I think we deliver an extraordinary education for what students pay.
Well, and that's the key part is, you know, you can have a, to use the word cheap, I'm not sure that's the right word, but you can be the cheapest school out there, but if you're not giving an education and kids aren't getting their degrees or they're not becoming educated and becoming broad, it makes me mad when my buddies talk about higher education that should be a training ground for jobs. And I say, no, it shouldn't. It's higher education. They should be educated. You should educate your children to have a broad, wide spectrum of a view of the world and take everything in. But you have to be able to deliver on that if your tuition is going to be cheap. And you do that. You believe you do that. You believe Morehead State does that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that students, as I said, get an extraordinary education at MSUM. And, you know, more students graduate with debt than we would like. And that's one of the reasons we are so concerned about helping students succeed and accepting students that we believe will succeed, so the students don't leave in the worst case scenario, which is with debt and no degree. But compared to other institutions, we offer a fabulous education at a very, very reasonable price.
The demographic who listens to this program skews to the parental side of things. We don't have a lot of students listening right now, but we have a lot of parents and grandparents listening right now. So if there's a parent out there right now, President, saying, gee, I wonder if my kid should go to MSUM, give me three fields of study, if their child is interested in those areas of study, where they would greatly benefit from going to MSUM.
You know, that is a trick question because, of course, whatever three I pick, I'll have the rest of the university upset with me for not naming their program.
What I'm saying is sell yourself. You have a minute to sell yourself to every parent out there and say, here's why you should go to MSUM.
I think parents should strongly consider, students should strongly consider MSUM because in virtually every field, we have top-notch faculty. We have more case professors of the year, including a national professor of the year award winner, than any other institution in this region. And our faculty teach students directly. We don't have graduate assistants teaching. We have highly qualified, exceptional faculty who care about students, who are willing to work with them individually, and who provide a top-notch education, as I said, at a very affordable price.
I'll say this, mass communications, teaching, and theater. How about those three? Is that okay?
Those three are exceptional. I do not argue with that.
I won't get you in trouble. I'll say that myself. How about any others that I could add in there that would be also fantastic?
We certainly have strong business programs.
There you go.
Exceptional programs in the sciences, too, I would add.
Okay. President Blackhurst, thank you. Congratulations again on your job. Come back again sometime and let's talk about this community task force thing,
thank
shall
you.
We?
I'd like that.
You bet.
Ann
Blackhurst, the brand new president of MSUM. And by the way, a marathon runner, so you're not going to beat her running the Fargo Marathon. She's going to Boston. Think about that.